This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. From both right and left, French presidential candidates promising to take France out of the European Union are gaining in polls. The left-wing candidate even wants France to leave NATO. After Brexit, it would be pretty much impossible to hold the European Union together without France, too. With 11 candidates, no one is expected to win a majority in the first round election. There'll be a runoff May 7th. Given the tenor of exit negotiation, one would expect the level of rancor and disgruntlement with themselves in the process to increase. I've been reading Stephen Ambrose's one-volume biography of Dwight Eisenhower. He could have been called the father of the European Union and NATO. Ike was a vocal, strong advocate of both. He wanted a United States of Europe post-World War II, believing that Europe needed to structure itself to avoid conditions that had resulted in two world wars, and the European Union was the closest they came to one. He would be very displeased with Brexit and the threat of the European Union unraveling. He did not have an America First worldview, championing the Marshall Plan, enduring some of the same criticism back then as we are hearing today about NATO and U.S. foreign aid. Ike worked hard to create the global institutions that the Bannon wing of the White House would like to dismantle. Ike would be proud of the results of what we did for post-war Europe and would be over there doing everything he could to hold the European Union together. According to Ambrose, Ike believed that Truman's dismantling of the military post-World War II was the reason for the Korean War, yet did not give the military a blank check. He made the tough decision to end the Korean conflict as he did. He was not very political and would not have handled today's race relations well, but would have challenged Trump's proficiency in the art of the deal. Donald doesn't like a strong dollar, but it said things that would undermine the European Union too, which would tend to send capital here for safety. Theresa May is now calling for another UK election with an aim toward gaining leverage for her party in Parliament. The political and economic turmoil in Europe supports gold and bonds. The NOPA crush was a short 153 million bushel, well under the trade estimate of 156.7. The U.S. and China have something in common, large stocks of corn. Actually, corn stocks in China are much worse than ours. They have an estimated annual corn production of 220 million metric tons versus estimated stocks of 250 million. China, like the United States, is reducing corn acres and expanding soybean production, but can frankly find it hard to reduce corn stocks and boost soybean stocks' relative demand. Domestic corn prices in China are off nearly 40%, while they restricted free grain imports to work down the burdensome domestic supply of corn. That is also why they banned U.S. distillers' grain. Just 6% of U.S. corn was planted as of Sunday. There are a few putting in a field here and there, but mostly just playing around. Temps are cold and there is rain in the forecast. Last year, corn planted in May out-yielded corn planted now. USDA says 54% of wheat is rated good to excellent, up 1% from last week, but 3% below last year. It would have to get a heck of a lot worse than that before anyone worries too much about running out of wheat. It is cold up north, too, as spring wheat seeding is behind, 13% done compared to 21% on average. Cotton planting of 8% was just a point behind average. It was demand that came in to push the surge in cotton Monday. I am concerned that the corn market's going to trade more like the wheat market, where despite large fund shorts, global stocks are so large, funds never get long. It'll be hard for weather to lift prices against bearish balance sheets. Just 6% of corn planted did not get much response from the trade. It was supposed to be turned around Tuesday, but selling returned. The 6 to 10-day forecast doesn't look so bad for the gut slot of the Corn Belt. Warmer temperatures start to build in the plains. In soybeans, basis is starting to give up to the Gulf, suggesting the export window is closing here as commercials shift to Brazil. Soy oil didn't hold the rally. ISU economist Lee Schultz says that hay prices are the lowest in the United States since 2011. Feedstuffs in general are cheap, and drought conditions nationwide have shrunk back so that grass and hay production should improve. In 2012, U.S. hay production averaged 2.8 tons per acre because of the drought, and last year the average yield was 3.53 tons. The warm winter and freezing thaw did produce some winter kill in alfalfa here, but moisture conditions are excellent for hay, the grass is greening, distillers' grain is cheap. Ag Secretary-to-be Sonny Perdue is not on the job officially yet as Congress dawdles in his confirmation. He is the go-to guy, however, for guidance on ag issues. North Dakota Senator Heidi Heinkamp wanted a temporary ban on Brazilian meat because of the scandal down there, and Perdue cut that one off at the pass, saying that the USDA was on top of the issue, which they were. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.